Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Maple Leafs are finally back in action. It feels like it's been quite a long time. We get to see they debut.
It's been.
Oh, that was pretty good, Blake. You got a little singing career in you. It's been a couple days since we've seen the boys, and they're going to be wearing their new black jerseys. Let's get Nick Kypreos' opinion on those. This insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Nick Kypreos, the real Kipper, co-host of Real Kipper and Born. Good morning.
Ailish, forget about the Leafs back in action. You're back in action.
It's been a while.
It
Did you
has,
miss me? You had to listen to these two clowns, eh?
We've missed you. I've missed you on these segments.
Thank you very much. That means a lot. It's
been the voice
nice
of reason.
Someone's got to be there for that. I guess, you know, the dust has settled. We got a couple new faces on the Leafs. Did they do enough at the trade deadline, or will we wait to see that come playoffs?
Yeah, not on paper, but thank goodness the game isn't played on paper. You know, Giordano will be a very important piece, especially with the fact that Sandin's gone and we don't know for sure how long. We hope it's not for Leaf fans the rest of the season. I think he was being reassessed the other day. So hopefully they come out and say they don't expect him to be gone for the rest of the regular season and he can squeeze in maybe a week before. So that, I think, might be the best case scenario. So, you know, Gio will come in. I like the fact that they're going to play him with Liljegren on the third pairing and work his way in. I'd rather that than see them, you know, throw him to the Lions here early and push that right away. So that's all good. I really believe, though, this Colin Blackwell's got a chance to maybe have a bigger impact than probably people would think. I think the fourth line struggled, and I think he can come in with a ball of energy. I don't like the fact that he's 5'9", but I also like the fact that he's not 160 pounds. This guy's pretty solid, and he's a great competitor. And I think, as he showed earlier, on a 2-on-1 this season against the Leafs, he can find a way to put the puck in the net. I think his impact might be bigger than people might give him credit for right now.
Okay, you and I can be the leaders of the Colin Blackwell fan club because I've been pumping this guy's tires all week. A big debut tonight. I like him a lot. I think he's a good player, and I think Leafs fans will like what he brings. He's got that energy. Obviously, he's not the tallest guy, but I think he could be somewhere you might agree with. He might be a rare, small guy that you like because of his physicality, and so I'm excited to see him as well.
Yeah, just the fight in the dog. That's all you're looking for. And the Leafs, they're a skilled team. We know that, and it's led away by two of the best in the world. We get all that. But it's when you don't have the puck and you're in a 50-50 battle. And that's what the game is from here on end. And that's going to be the difference maker in the Stanley Cup playoffs is when there are loose pucks, who comes up with it. And Blackwell will be a guy that can fight for it. Others, they're going to have to get on board. They're going to play. This team has to play a lot harder on pucks that they don't have. And I didn't like that game against Nashville. And I know they had some crossbars and they had some chances and, you know, Sjogren let in a couple of soft goals, maybe. But outside of that, I thought they got run over. And that's where Blackwell can come in and just push back a little bit.
Well, that's good, because if he does that, so does Mark Giordano. So you added two guys that go in and win puck battles. But I think the question with Blackwell is, are you sure he's a fourth line guy? Because he did come in here to play, right? Well, we were saying this isn't the typical 5'9 guy who Dubas brings in at the deadline. It's not Patan, it's not Malgin, it's not someone that's like AHL depth who maybe ends up playing or whatever. This guy is here to play. His floor is playing on the fourth line, but Kosh is still hurt, and I guess he's going to end up being better at some point here, and maybe he slots back in on that second line. But do you think that Blackwell could end up being a guy who gets a look on that second line and who could end up playing with Tavares and Nylander? Because bite
yes.
some scoring sounds like, yeah, that sounds like what they need right now.
Yes, I do. And the key in all of this is you start him on the fourth line. You don't even talk about this guy playing on Tavares and Nylander's line right now. I'm barring you, JD, from talking about it. Because what happens, and they've been guilty in the past, is that you throw a Joe Thornton up there with Matthews and Marner, and then there's nowhere to go but down. And this start him on the fourth line, and then just work his way up. The last thing you need to do is build up expectations that puts this guy in a position where he feels the pressure to do so many different things. So like Giordano, you know, you start him on the third pair, you start this guy on the fourth line, and you work your way up, not the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, it worked for Bunting. I've just always been a believer of if you can't handle the pressure early, then you might not be able to handle it at all. Like, I'd like to know what I know out of the gate. I'm the opposite, where I go, like, it's like the rookie quarterback discussion, right? Where they go, don't throw the rookie QB in because it's too much pressure. And I go, no, let's throw him in the fire. Let's see what he can do. And then I'll work my way backwards and know what I have early. But Kyle Dulles.
You know. You don't have kids yet, do you? You haven't taught them how to swim yet, eh?
Ever. Well,
yeah, they're going straight to the deep end with you, man. There's going to be no floaties. There's going to be no lessons. You're just going to throw them in the deep end.
It's off a dock, sir, is what I would do. It's like you're not going in nice, warm water with chlorine. Like, no, it's off a dock. Push. Hey, I think I saw a frog at the end of the dock. Push. Let's see if you can swim. Okay, so you had Kyle Dubas on the show. You had him on after the deadline. I wonder if there's been something, Kipper, you know, that's been ruminating with you. You know, something that has stuck with you, an impression that was made during the interview, something that stuck with you from your talk with Dubas or what he had to say after the deadline.
Well, for me, it's his conviction to stick with his game plan, and that's what I think everybody felt after the trade deadline, that he wasn't certainly feeling the pressure of being all in and having to keep up with the Joneses, like the Tampas and the Floridas in their division. Boston went out and got the best defenseman available in Lindholm, and yet he believes in his group enough to say that I'm just going to add a few pieces, and he did up front and the blue line, and we know what happened with Sateri getting claimed off of Arizona in net. But he certainly didn't act like a guy that felt like his job was on the line, and a first-round loss meant that he's unemployed and looking for work. So that's the biggest impression that I got, that he believes in this team. We know that he doubled down in the summer with his group, and he tripled down at the trade deadline. So he thinks he can make noise here, and he's got 20 games to shape this team up. And again, the beauty of those 20 games is I look at them as 20 exhibition games. Even if they were to lose tonight against New Jersey, I don't think there should be a sense of panic here. All you have to do is get ready for game one of the playoffs in these 20 games. And if you are underdogs, so be it. It might even play better in their hands to be the underdogs with a dangerous team, a dangerous offense, and roll the dice and see what happens. Because, you know, just to circle back to the start of our show here, you know, this team has everything to gain and really nothing to lose here. They are not the favorites. They are not on paper anywhere near Tampa Bay and, to a lesser extent, Florida. So go in as underdogs, but just make sure that you know, hopefully healthy and feeling good, and take your chances on Matthews and Marner to carry this team.
Not only
and Jack
are they
Campbell and Jack.
Yeah, exactly. And Jack. Not only are they, you know, putting their eggs in the basket with those two, but certainly with the goaltenders. And I wondered your take on Dubas's comments about, you know, Mrazek and saying, well, I guess it was both him and Sheldon Keefe, but saying, you know, he had a couple tough days here, but we're going to put our faith in them. We're putting our faith in Jack Campbell and kind of doubling down on the fact that they didn't go out and acquire a goaltender other than Sateri, who, you know, that was a whole fiasco. But, you know, just having that confidence and maybe trying to also boost the tires of their goaltenders so they know that, you know, they have some belief in what they've done.
Well, they really had no choice, but that didn't keep them from trying. And we do know that Kyle knocked on some doors for goaltenders. But at the end, couldn't make it work for whatever reasons. Fleury ultimately not wanting to come, or not wanting to give up a top prospect in Matthew Nyes. Whatever the case is, you just hope that they're motivated here. And maybe it's a good thing that that it got out that Kyle was shopping for a goalie. Maybe that's enough for both these guys to say, you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to come back and be that guy. And I think right now that's all you can hang your hat on, that one of these two guys will step up, and we all believe that the odds are it's got to be Jack Campbell. Yeah. Mrazek has always been the goalie that he is right now, and with the exception of not having a great run, you know, being at the top of his game, because he's always been a streaky guy. Either he is on and he's lights out, or he stinks. And right now you've gotten the latter part of that equation, unfortunately. But you hope that he's motivated. He's going to go down to the Marlies, and he's going to either practice there or play a few games. And then when you need him, you call him up, and you just work the cap to your favor so you can get Muzzin back. And we'll see where Sandin is at the end of the season.
Kipper, so sticking with that, right? Dubas shopping around. He's talking to Chicago. I've been trying to figure out why Dubas was so mad at Kyle Davidson. Like, that's just not something you normally see from a general manager, to call someone out. And I mentioned on the show already, and I did it a take it or leave it yesterday, that, you know, it's rumor season. That's what happens. Like, things get leaked. Things from front offices get leaked. I've heard theories about, hey, well, maybe it's just because he's very much like Lou, and so he doesn't like when things get out there, and he viewed that as a betrayal. But I'm curious if you think that's it, because you mentioned that maybe it's the impact that it has psychologically on the goalies. But I also have something I kind of wanted to pitch your way, that I because I can't stop thinking about it. I cannot stop thinking about why he was so mad. And one of the things that I've said before is, so when you ask people around hockey, and part of it's just that it's the Leafs, but when you ask people who have, like, either played the game or out of it, or a lot of people, just there's a, not an anger, but just like they want the Leafs to fail. They want this Leafs experiment to fail. They want Dubas to fail. And a lot of this is, like, I see a guy like Bill Guerin make that Fleury trade, and I know he's close to Chicago, but it's like Bill Guerin is in the club, right? Like, guys around hockey revere, respect, love, admire Bill Guerin. Nobody wants Bill Guerin to fail the way that I think people around hockey want Kyle Dubas to fail. Do you think that impacts the way that he negotiates with teams? Like, is he in the club in such a tight-knit community that is hockey, and the guys who get to be a part of front offices, is it harder for a guy like Kyle Dubas to negotiate, to have conversations with teams around these times, to find a way to get fair deals or get to the negotiating table the same way?
Yes, you're absolutely correct in that. And it's been up against Kyle from day one. Absolutely day one. He's been fighting that battle. And to this day, you are 100%. He does not get the respect that other guys have that have either been there for a while or played the game. And, you know, you could sit there and say that's not fair. It's old culture. We got to get rid of that toxic environment. Yeah, whatever. But it is there. You're absolutely right. And, you know, there's a lot of people from day one. The first day, JD, Kyle Dubas got hired, people were calling me up and saying, like, what is this? Like, you know, what has he done? What has he won? What has he built? And people didn't like the fact that, you know, he came in and got handed this job while others have been working in this this industry and put in 10, 12, 15 years. Look how long. Pat Verbeek, okay? Mm-hmm. Arguably Hall of Famer. Played the game as tough as anybody. That guy had to wait, what, 20 years, 25 years to get a general manager's job? That's what people are used to in our industry. The people come in, they buy their time, and they get these jobs. They're not used to seeing a Kyle Dubas come out of, you know, junior without even a Memorial Cup and then just be handed the job. So that pissed a lot of people off already. And it's been a uphill battle. And is it fair? Is it not fair? Is irrelevant what you think. It's just, it's out there. And I think that that was the case. On our show yesterday, Justin and I were talking about the fact that he goes out and he signs this goalie, Satari, and he wants him, and he needs him, and he could use the help. Walls hurt. There's a lack of depth. He wants to get him in. And then Arizona just snaps him up. And I said to Justin on our show, do you think Arizona would have taken him if it was Brian Burke or Lou Lamoriello? I would have been scared to go clip a guy like that off of those guys. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, that they'll file it in the back of their minds and get me some other way. You know, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? And I think they looked at Kyle and they said, yeah, let's take his goalie. Mm-hmm. And again, fair, unfair, it's a moot point. They did it. And it's a continuing uphill battle for him. I think, you know, he works hard and he is a likable guy and he's got a lot of respect, you know, in his building. Brendan Shanahan believes in him. MLSC believes in him. He does work hard, and he is a likable guy. And there's a lot of reasons why you should cheer Kyle Dubas on. But around the league, I'm not sure. You're definitely onto something, JD.
But this is it. And okay, no, like this is not having an opinion on whether or not, you know, Kyle Dubas should be in that club or not. It's just the fact of the matter is, Skipper, like you said it, all those people seemingly have resented him from day one. And I even think back to his initial media conference when he showed up in the city. They were going like, he's not an analytics guy, he's a hockey guy. He won in the O, okay? He's a Greyhounds guy. He's a hockey guy. He's a guy who grew up in the rink. He's someone who's been around the game since he was a kid. They kept promoting that as like a way of, here are his stamps, right? Here are his, look at his passport. He's got them all. He's been around the game. He's not just here because of the numbers. He's been fighting kind of the analytics thing the entire time. And again, this is not an opinion on whether or not it's a right thing or a wrong thing. It's just exactly what you said. I can't help but feel like whenever there are negotiations, he is just dealing from a shorter deck. That is just harder for him to do it. I'm not saying it's a good, I'm not saying that's a fair thing, like you just said it too. But I keep looking at that and I keep seeing the evidence of it. And I go, man, it's got to make the job so much harder. Like, this job is already so much of, like, winning on these fine little margins, right? These fine little tiny things. $1 million here, a fourth line player there, a couple of saves there. And you have a general manager that everybody is seemingly rooting against. And, like, you can like it as a Leaf fan. You can feel like it's an added benefit to you, but I've felt that from day one, and I feel it every single deadline day, and it's why, like, I keep looking at why he was so mad, and I just wondered if he just stepped to that podium and he went, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury just got traded to a second round pick to Bill Guerin, and maybe the theory you had is right, but that everybody's getting deals done, and he's just there at the end of this going, Satari gets nabbed, and I felt like all the prices were a different price for me than they were for everybody else, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and it's even looking around his team. Like, with the exception of Brendan Shanahan, and I don't know how involved Brendan is from day to day. I really believe that, you know, it's not Brendan's team. It's Kyle Dubas' team. The roster looks like a Kyle Dubas team. It doesn't look to me like a Brendan Shanahan team if I base it on the way Brendan played the game. So it's just not looking around the room and seeing Kyle Dubas, but it's looking around the room and seeing, a capologist from the league office in Printham and Lawrence Gilman. And there's no Mark Hunters. There's nobody else that could go into a call and say, you know, you're not pulling that crap on us, you know, and with authority. And that's just the team that Brendan built. And they aren't traditional hockey people as we know it. There's not anybody in that old boys club that can look people in the eye and say, hey, you're not pulling that crap on my watch, I'm telling you right now. And if you ever pluck a guy off of waivers like that when you don't really need him, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make your life miserable. you know, it'll be my last wish on this earth. I will come back and I will haunt you. That those conversations happen amongst those traditional culture guys. They do. They're vicious on each other. And I don't know, maybe they don't feel like they're going to get the same backlash from the likes of Kyle Dubas. I have no idea. But I do feel what you feel 100%.
I think we need you in the room, Kipper, and they
yeah,
try to pull
I'm
that.
Terrified.
And you're like, the thunder of my vengeance will echo through these corridors.
No, I'm too old now.
Like, I'll throw a little that. Boot at your head.
If Nyes does not come and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I owe people a lot of little Buddhas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
send some our way.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've been waiting.
Oh, Ailish, you missed it. JD's getting, a little Buddha swag. He's getting them sent.
Kipper, I thought I was your favorite.
All right, I'm working on it. I'm making calls today.
Come on.
I'm making calls today. I will look after everybody with some little Buddha.
It's the least you can do.
But in the meantime, it's still available at the LCBO.
It's the time of the year for it, too. You know, sun's starting to shine. Days are getting a little longer. You maybe head out to a park or a patio. Yeah. Or
tell you what, that's a baseball beverage if I've ever seen one. Really
quite a good one. Unfortunately, not today. You know, it's ugly out there today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, maybe just have one inside. Kipper, thanks for making time, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, enjoyed it, guys. Have a great day.
See you, pal. It's Nick Kiprios. Real Kipper and Bourne later this afternoon. So, okay, again.
Yeah, sorry, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Before you give us that take out of that, JD, the biggest adjustment for me with Ailish coming back is I was the one that had to do all the ad reads and the promo code reads and stuff while Ailish was off. And now I keep going to read the insider read or give away the
back
Leaf
off.
Tickets, and I forgot I've been mowing your lawn for 3 weeks, Ailish.
That's all right. I'm back.
And nothing changes for me. I just continue to ignore
you
them.
Forget
and
about them.
Steamroll through them.
Well, you're the talent.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I'm going to clarify this. I hate having to clarify this, but I'm going to anyways. No one is saying that Kyle Dubas should be on the outside of that quote-unquote boys club, right? Or that front office club. But if you look around the league, this is just simple. Look at the names on the list. Look at the names of who are in front offices, who make these deals around hockey, right? It's a lot of old-school hockey people who've been around the game for a long time. Kyle Dubas does not appear to be in that club. And if you've talked to anyone around hockey, like, they root against the Leafs and they root against Kyle Dubas. And I actually think it's kind of funny because even when Kipper, I don't even agree with Kipper when he says it's a Kyle Dubas. I agree with him with it's a Kyle Dubas front office. I don't know, like, a Kyle Dubas team seems to be different things to me, right? Like, I don't even really know what a Kyle Dubas team is. He inherited a lot of young stars and he believes in talent. Like, that's not a... whoa, Kyle Dubas believes in good players and keeping the good players. Like, that's not a modern or novel philosophy. But I really do believe if the Leafs fail this year and they go into this offseason after maybe a first or a second round exit, if one of those two things happens, and they have to evaluate whether or not they are going to keep the general manager, that this has to be at least a consideration. Because we can talk about toppling hierarchies, right? And what it takes to do those things and how hockey is changing and there are different parts of the game that we want changed. This is just a reality of it, is that people who are involved in hockey and who are lifers in hockey are going to be in front offices in hockey. Like, it isn't just going to be people like that. And again, this is not a Kyle Dubas isn't a hockey person. I know where he's from and I know what he has accomplished. I'm saying at the NHL level, he didn't have the stamps of other people. You heard it with Kipper, with a guy like Verbeek. Those are just realities of the situation. This isn't up for debate. And so when you're going into this offseason, how do you value that? How do you value that as the people who are decision makers in deciding whether or not someone keeps a job? Do you keep running it out there and say, hey, the same respect level is not there from certain agents. The same respect level is not there from certain general managers. And I'm not saying that these guys don't have any respect for Kyle Dubas. I'm saying that they want to get one over on him, or they don't feel like a kinship with him in the same way as they do with some of the other guys, right? Like, you can't tell me that Bill Guerin and Ron Francis and guys like that feel the same way about each other as they do as Kyle, all right? That's all I'm trying to outline here. So trying to figure out what the value of that is at a deadline or in free agency or anytime you have to deal with another front office, I think they have to really think long and hard about that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's a reason that you see some teams do deals with the same front offices fairly often, right? Like the Raptors and Spurs have made 4 trades now, I think. Relationships matter with that kind of stuff. I'd say, you know, I probably worry about it less on the agent side because agents' primary concern is
most money, yeah.
is money. And Kyle Dubas has not been shy with money generally.
But I do wonder how much some of that sometimes is a part of it, man. Like, money is the thing, but you have seen certain guys be better negotiators than Kyle. Like, it is what it is. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing if maybe that is a potentially a thing. But that's why, again, I've had like 5 different theories as to why Kyle Dubas was so mad at Davidson. So people are probably sick of it. It's like I did that take it or leave it video on Instagram, and now it's almost like obsolete because I've had 25 different takes off of it. But the thing that I think that I've come to is what Kipper just said there, where he goes, "You're not going to do this to me." Guess what? Kyle Dubas used the weapon at his advantage, and that's the media. He went to the media with it. He said, "I have the biggest media group, and you guys leaked it, and I don't think you negotiated in good faith." And that was my theory all along, that something about the negotiation rubbed him a wrong way. It wasn't just the leak. Something that happened between him and that front office and the way that they asked for so much that it was so unbelievably unfair. And then, yes, did they get good things back for Hagel, and did they get good things back for Fleury? Absolutely. But it... 2 firsts from Tampa Bay and a second rounder from Minnesota are not within the stratosphere of what was asked from Toronto, even if you compare the salary dump too. That was his way of expressing the, what did you say, down the corridors of the, what yeah. Blake's thing was.
like the gust of 1,000 winds.
Yes, I think that was his version of it. I think his version of being pissed off, and he couldn't take it to someone directly with snarl. He went to the media with snarl, and I don't know if it worked, but it was something. We've been talking about it for a couple of days now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's something we won't be able to evaluate until we see his next round of moves and how he portrays that in the media, what gets leaked next time around. I certainly don't think they'll be making any deals with Chicago anytime soon. But it's, you know, there are a lot of things you can do to minimize the people and emotional aspect of sports. But it's still 2 people getting in a room and trying to work out a trade, right? And it's obviously a lot more serious and a lot smarter than, say, a fantasy league. But we've all been in fantasy leagues with people who by year 4, 5, 6 in the league, no one trades with them. Or you automatically get ready to reject their trade because you know the offer is going to be silly. Like, there are people components to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's that hard to relate to when you think about it that way.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think it's a thing. And I've thought it's a thing for a while. And here's what I'll say. Every time I ask somebody if it's a thing, they say yes. And yeah, obviously front offices are going to do the best in terms of working in their front interest. And if the Leafs have the best trade package to offer and whatever, that's how it's going to be. But I think it's a thing. What isn't a thing is me hitting any bets.
Same. What the heck? Oh, 0-for-2 since my return. I'm going away again.
I am just... Sometimes you slump. I think I might be... I can't say it's the worst slump of my career because I was red hot on Thursday with March Madness picks. But since that red hot Thursday, so we're talking about almost a week now. I thought, this is like a week of basically just getting eviscerated, like truly pummeled. And I, again, another wake and rake where I went, I like Trae Young. I like the Hawks. I like it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The picks are the picks, and the best bets keep missing. All right, wake and rake is normalizing. What are we at percentage-wise now even?
Oh, I don't want to know.
We'll talk about it after the break, but I don't want you guys to sit here overthinking it during the break. I have what I think might be maybe not a solution, but something to mix it up to try and get us back on the right track. That's next. We'll do the wake and rake. You got 11 NBA games tonight, 4 NHL games. We'll tee all that up, including the Leafs as just a ridiculous, ridiculous favorite against the New Jersey Devils. let's try to get back on the right side of things. It's the Fan Morning Show Sports at 590, The Fan.
Breaking down everything in Leafsland better than anyone. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590, The Fan. Blake Murphy, Caleb Forfar, JD Bunkus. And it's been a couple days since the Wake and Rake hit. Not great. 2-1-2 nights to start us off here with the
Thank God we have you, Blake.
Well, it doesn't do much in a parlay, right? It's this is a team exercise.
Yeah, but it pads your stats.
One person doesn't succeed without the others.
You know,
that, hey, yeah, do we? How often do I reference the individual stats? This is a team exercise.
Wow, you know, you've changed since you've returned.
Okay,
now you're like all about your own stats.
That's
Ailish's star player in college coming out there right now. It's like Dartmouth's winning games, but Ailish hasn't scored in a couple of nights, and she's like, the team's all out celebrating, and she's like, oh, she's got her hood up over her head. She's like,
okay,
you guys deserve it, not me. Like, that's you right now. Blake just reminded me of how once I was at karaoke, and this guy goes up, and he's just murdering Bare Naked Ladies song. Like, he goes up, I can't remember what the Bare Naked Ladies song was, but he
probably Old Apartment.
I know it wasn't that, because that was what was requested, but this guy goes up and he crushes a Bare Naked Ladies song, like eviscerates it, and sounds exactly like the lead singer, to the point where you're going, are you able to sing, or are you just able to sing like that guy, right? Someone goes, he's like, he's the MC. And he's like, oh, does anybody else want to go? Like, who's up? It's very early in the night, though, so no one's lubed up yet and no one's ready to jump up there. It's kind of like a sudden karaoke where it's gone from being a bar to karaoke. And like, it's that pivot point. And somebody goes, sing Old Apartment. And he goes, how does that one go? I don't know if I know that one. And it was the greatest lie I've ever seen anybody tell in their entire lives. Like, this guy who can sing exactly like the lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies, who's obviously sang every song from the cat. And he wasn't, like, joking or doing a bit. It was, like, a very serious put-on of him trying to pretend like he didn't know all the Bare Naked Ladies songs. It was incredible. I've never enjoyed anything more than this guy. Like, and then, of course, he launches into it and knows how to hit every single beat exactly. Like, yeah, it's
of
like,
course.
You know, it's just perfect.
But and yes, look, I will always think of that.
But Blake might have been that guy, is what I was getting to. Is like, I think I didn't know Blake at the time, and it was actually him who sang that song.
No, I'm not a good singer at all. So you would be able to tell that. Like, you would not be telling a story about me at karaoke that
Are
I did
you a good actor,
job.
Though? Blake now in a music video acting. Here's my review of Blake in his new music video. Go to Blake's Instagram and you can see him in Pop's new music video. I won't say what he does so that you go see it, but I actually thought, good job. You know, it's a brief cameo and a thing, but Ailish, did you see it?
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I didn't watch the full music video, but I saw the little clip of it. And
watch the whole thing. I'm a real friend.
I'm on it.
You know, like, I'm a supportive, like, member of this crew, and I just, I watched the whole thing. You're out there worried about your stats, sulking with your head up, and not watching our videos.
Yeah. Did you see Blake in the music video?
Yeah.
I saw that it happened.
I didn't get the invite.
I didn't get the music video. Okay, so Blake, what's your theory on how we get off this 1 week schneid of just awfulness?
Yes. So we're going to tee up and talk around all the games tonight, as we always do. We do have Leafs in action. We have the Blue Jays in action. We have 11 NBA games. However, the last time that the Wake and Rake had a perfect night was the day that the Toronto Blue Jays acquired Matt Chapman. And because of that, our schedule was thrown into flux, and the Wake and Rake was 100 seconds long. And we all had to just go with our gut first line that came to our head. So we're going to talk around the games after, but we're going to start off right now. I want the first pick that comes to mind for you guys. The first thing that stood out for you guys.
Leafs,
so JD, I'll
puck
go with
line.
You.
Okay. Oh,
Ailish,
okay.
Ailish got Leafs puck line.
I think Leafs puck line.
Okay.
Because
It's minus 135.
Devils are on a wake and the Devils are on a wake and
wait. You better wake up. Like it's not. It's no more honey and tea or whatever it is that you're drinking in the morning.
Devils
the
are on
water.
A back to back. The Devils are on a heavy wake favorites. And They've been practicing at home for like 6 days. They're gonna have something to prove with their new faces, Giordano, and our buddy Colin Blackwell, my guy, is gonna score three. Leafs puck line is what I'm feeling tonight. You can't bet the Leafs money line is -330. That's ridiculous. No. But I feel like the Leafs are gonna put a big stamp on this Wednesday night hockey game.
Can I tell you something though? The Leafs on the money line -330 is actually the most fair price that we've seen on the Leafs versus a bad team. Like, I'm shocked. When Blake said the Leafs line is ridiculous, I actually thought, I was going to guess, did we crack minus 500 with the Leafs in this one? Because they are on a back-to-back, because no-name goalie is in net, because the Devils, they won last night. They scored 7 goals. They ended Shesterkin's Hart Trophy candidacy. If you had any Hart Trophy Shesterkin bets, I'm sorry, but they're all broken now. It's Matthews or McDavid the rest of the way. All of you that thought it was going to be a goalie are fools. That's embarrassing for all of you now. I actually like that one. I think that that's a fair price. I think that I think that's a good bet. I think it's a good Leafs bet night.
Anytime the regulation win doesn't fit the parameters of the wake and rake, it's an extreme line. So you got to go puck line here. Ailish, you mentioned Blackwell, by the way, +320
for a goal. Oh,
there you go.
Oh.
You got it even better. You got an even better price.
You got to smash that. Just five bucks.
Although +320, the just $5 is not a huge return. So
I need something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to refill your account from the sounds.
Honestly, I've been hitting bets that we don't say in the wake and rake. Like, the Hawks yesterday, they were down like 15 and came back and won.
Yeah.
Trae Young in the Garden.
I had
Jays -1.5.
Yes.
Smash that.
I have won bets, and I have actually given out winning picks on this show.
Yes,
I keep missing my best bet. And what I'm doing right now is one of the worst things you can do as a bettor, which is like you get in a loss hole with parlays and you just keep doubling and tripling down on parlays. And that's where I'm at right now.
You made a comment yesterday about like, oh, you've been cold enough that you might do the opposite of what your gut is. And this is why I wanted to do this rapid fire exercise today where take the overthinking out of it. You have a long track record of being good at this. Let's just reset. And just so JD. Well, we could talk about the Leafs a little bit more in a minute, but what's your best bet of the night?
I love the NBA slate tonight.
Yeah, really so many good ones.
There's like a billion games that I like, and I hate to say this. I really do. I really hate to say this. It disgusts me to my core, and
not doing it.
Do you know what it is?
I have an idea, but go ahead.
I like Durant and Kyrie. It's -2.5.
And no Memphis, John Morant.
No, thank you. Memphis has been good, but KD and Kyrie versus no John Morant. How are you guys going to lose that game? Like,
they're the Nets. They'll find a way somehow.
I'm just saying, like, that to me is like, you're weirdly getting. Listen, Nets on the road. If anybody's paying attention to what Kyrie's doing when he plays in basketball games, it's like, oh, well, actually we are because he scored a billion points. He scored 1 million points the other day. And we did the old conversation that people think is novel but happens actually every time Kyrie has a good game, which is he the most skilled player in the NBA? Like, you know, and people get outraged by that because they don't understand the framework of it. But I think Kyrie is on one right now. And I think that this is a bit of a, I don't want to say a measuring stick game for them, because I think that Kyrie and KD are above that kind of stuff right now. They're just like playoff mode, but it's a game where they're going to be engaged, and there's going to be guys who try to take runs at them on that young, hungry Grizzlies team, no jaw, and they're going to be hungry for it too. I actually think it'll be a very competitive game, but I just think that you're getting the team with the better players, and yeah, the Nets on the road are a team that I'm interested in betting. The Nets at home are a team I'm not, and I'm going to bet the Nets tonight.
Yeah, so no Ja Morant, again, a big factor in that one. The Grizzlies have also, they started the season 41-21 against the spread. So honestly, had we just picked the Grizzlies every single game, we still would have been at around our 66% clip. They've cooled off, 5-5 against the spread in their last 10. The Ja injury is real. The Nets are coming in rested as well, which is a relevant thing when KD's coming off an injury. Seth Curry is questionable, but I don't think that's a big enough factor when you're looking at a Ja Morantless Memphis Grizzlies team.
I also like the Suns. If Karl Anthony Towns isn't playing, which was he was listed as what, doubtful or
he's
questionable?
He's officially questionable. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the difference between questionable and doubtful, but I think the
basically,
Suns
basically complete stay away from me this early in the morning. It's like it's too big of a factor, and it's just it's like I'm staying away until I know things. You're right. Monitor, but I don't know. I think the Timberwolves are legit.
Like, 8-2 against the spread in their last 10. They're now in we talked about the play-in situation earlier and how much teams are fighting for that. T-Wolves sneaky, only a game out of avoiding the play-in altogether.
Yeah.
They're right behind the Nuggets and the Mavs. So that's an interesting one. But yeah, the Towns question mark. Ailish, I like it if Towns doesn't play, but that's a big question mark. By the way, for anyone who doesn't, Ailish, since you kind of raised the question, the rough terms we've been told with the NBA injury report, and this lines up with NFL, out is supposed to be 0%. It's actually closer to like 5% of the time they play. Doubtful is 25%, questionable is 50%, probable 75%. That's roughly the way it chops up. I know.
I got to tell
especially since LeBron James has been questionable for like 180 consecutive games.
Well, not only that, probable being 75% is outrageous too. Probable to me is 99%. If you're probable and you don't play, I'm in
this is
I'm
our
in shambles.
Issues with probabilities like, yeah, in our head. Yeah, is probable, like by definition, could just mean 51%.
Yeah.
It's likelier they play than they don't. All right.
I love that. Because Blake went into actual math on it. It was like the term probable. He wanted Professor Murphy was about to deliver a lecture. He's like, guys, have you been paying attention to my classes? I've gone over this with you before. I'm sick and tired of going over this with JD. That probable does not mean 99%. You cannot be mad if someone's out. So I like that bet tonight. I'm staying away from that. I think my T-Wolves are, by the way, I want to say that I'm taking credit for the T-Wolves and the Pelicans. I was on those teams early, and those have been my successes. And that's why, you know what, I went back to NBA tonight, Blake, because you went rapid fire gut. The first line I saw that made sense to me was the Nets, so that's what it is. What's yours?
Yeah, I'm going to, this is going to be a bit of a risk, but it's
no.
Okay. I'm going to the NIT.
No.
I am. Wake Forest plus three against Texas A&M. Yeah, plus three. Analytically, Monster. Wake Forest is much stronger than Texas A&M. And they're 3-point
I don't
dogs.
Even know where to bet that. I'm scrolling. Like, is this on my site?
I don't know where to bet that.
You just
search
basketball.
Everywhere.
NIT.
Yeah.
If you guys don't want me to go there.
No. It's
no,
your
no,
pick.
No, you're
your
doing
pick
it.
Is your pick. Your pick is your pick. Plus 3.5. Yeah. Wake Forest,
I'm just saying,
you said?
I've got, Wake Forest plus 3.
Okay.
Against Texas A&M. Analytically, they are a much stronger team.
I actually like, by the way, just tonight, I'll probably tweet this one. I'll probably post this one. It's just like a moneyline parlay. I like the Hornets to beat the Knicks tonight on a back-to-back. And I'm not laying the 6.5, but I think the Hornets will win that game. I already mentioned that I like Brooklyn, but I also just think that the Heat are going to beat the Warriors. The Warriors without Steph, like, it's not a thing. Like, they just lost to the Magic last night, and now they're playing again, and it's only a 6.5-point spread. I know the Heat just screwed me over badly in a game where there was no stars players, but I don't think they'll lose two in a row. So I just think, like, Heat money line is a nice little lock parlay builder tonight that I really, really, really enjoy. I will also say this. I know I've done this 100 times already as well, which is this is the MVP game, but I actually think Joel Embiid needs to beat the Lakers tonight. This is going to be a very public game, and it's gotten kind of tight. It's tightened up in the MVP conversation, and I think everything matters for Embiid versus Jokic because sneakily Jokic and Giannis have better cases than him, and he's just a complete narrative award winner. If you're going to be the narrative award winner, you need to win the narrative battle. You need a money line win tonight for the Sixers. And I also, Blake, I think the Magic are scrappy, and I think the Thunder are not. And I kind of like on a short line, even though they played last night, taking the Magic at -1.5.
Yeah, Shea's questionable as well. Yep. So you could have a Thunder team without Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Magic are like, I don't know. I just feel like they could, if they get a guy, like they're one other guy away from being like a team that is no longer the Magic. You know, like that Vucevic trade worked out really well for them. I'm just saying, I've bought a little stock. I've bought a little Magic stock for next year. I'm just, not this year, but I have a little bit in my pockets, and I've got a little, I'm holding on to it. I bought really low. I'm not going to trade them for a pizza like those early Bitcoin investors. I'm just saying, like, I kind of have Magic. I'm a Magic guy.
My one small concern with the Magic turning it around is that they've done it without Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, well, listen, I've like basically written off Jalen Suggs' career. Yeah.
I'm not willing to do that.
No, neither am I really, but I just mean like, yeah, it has been a tough year for Suggs. Again, he is like the total this is the ultimate reminder of just like where you get drafted matters so much. Like you look at what's happened with, not that Mobley and Barnes wouldn't have been terrific players independently of this, but just their ability to impact winning this early and just the development of these two guys throughout the year and being in such a good atmosphere is just so invaluable. And we keep learning this year over year, and it's one of those things where even as you get older, you keep looking at it and going, man, it's just where you get drafted in the NBA, in the NHL, in the NFL, like wherever. It just, baseball is the only one where it doesn't matter. But these ones, it's just huge.
One final thing before we go. Because we've been mentioning and using this space to tee up the Jays spring training action. They are in action. They're +110 at Philadelphia today. Jose Barrios on the mound. The Jays stacking the lineup with 7 lefties against left-hander Christopher Sanchez. Of course, this is spring training, so that guy's probably only going to pitch an inning or two. It doesn't really matter. But you're missing some of the big guns. The top of the order is Biggio, Espinal, Kirk, and
not touching this one.
Greg Bird. No, I'm not touching it. I just
and I've been betting them, but this is the getaway. This is the getaway game where it's like, hey, leave the casino. You're up. Leave the casino.
Yeah. I just like to mention it here because there's obviously we don't need to do a whole preview on the Toronto Blue Jays spring training action.
Nope.
But that's what you're looking at today.
But it's been our only winner that we've brought up every single day is bet the Blue Jays, bet the Blue Jays, bet the Blue Jays. This is the first time, like I said, you have to know when to leave the casino. You need to know when you're up. Hey, you've had a good evening and you've got some money in your pocket. Time to leave. That's the Blue Jays today. Even if they win, who cares? You could have won. You can always win. But tonight is the leave the casino night.
Yeah, it's a good reminder, too, that a no bet is still a decision on the game. You're saying that's not one where I see an
Professor
edge or have
Murphy.
A good feeling. Yeah, exactly.
Murphy,
you get an A+ for learning that lesson about spring training baseball already, JD.